Okay, so I was looking for a mimer to learn, and I probably opened up 30, 40 Sfarim Shabbos. I was looking, going through all the Rebbe's Maimarim. The past two times, I think I was at one of these conferences, we had this one mimer of the Tzemach Tzedek, which was very apropos for this particular gathering. But this one spoke to me this time. It's about challenges. It's about the Siyonis. And hopefully a good dose of the Rebbe's Maimer. And it's also learnable in one session, meaning today and tomorrow we can probably go through the Maimer. And the main Nakuda is let the godliness of the Maimer do its trick. Because we all need some heavy dose of potent elukus to drop into the core of our being so that we can do our avodah b'simcha rabba. And hopefully, that godliness that it drops in will actually make things easier as well. That's the nekuda. Because that's the secret of nesiyonis. Nesiyonis are situations that are difficult, and there is no question that this whole, that the reason or the experiences that everybody has that's over here is because we were gifted with special nesiyonis that are given extra, like extra weights when you're doing a shlichus. You know, you need to rev up the engine, right? You need to really like, because shlichus is not easy. But then when you add on special weights that are hanging down, so the energy level of shlichus, you know, the draining of the energy is like beyond. So you need extra potency to be able to make, to push through. And especially the nekud over here is to push through besimcha. In other words, to recognize that. What's unique about this mimer, and beautiful about the mimer, is in addition to it explaining the essence of what the Siyonis are all about, what they do for us, it's also going to switch, it has the potential to switch, and I'm not talking what it's going to do subconsciously. Subconsciously, it's going to drop the Rebbe's, it's going to drop a lukus into our neshama. Hopefully, he said that it's one share a year, first day, so with enough power to last until next year, make sure you take me back first, then we can do another one. In any case, it shouldn't be. We should be in Yerushalayim long, and no one should have it. This should be like a Yinuka Cholman. We wake up and we say, "What? Everything is Lamachai. Everybody's beautiful. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's good." And but the Nakud over here is it drops in this the godliness that's in the subconscious, but consciously, what's very special is that it can kind of take the challenges that we have, which l'chura are outside of our regular shlicha zone, because the shlicha is to influence the environment, to be makarif the yidden, to make our place ba'olam into ready for Mashiach. That's the shlichas, and yet we will understand that the particular difficulties that we have regarding our own family members and challenges that we have. That mamish is the shlichus on the deepest level. It's like it hits bullseye. It hits the nekuda hachi pnimis of the shlichus in transforming your place into godliness. That's the chiddush over here. So people are shlichus, and it's hard enough for every shliach. And when there is very, very, very deep birurim that have to happen on a level that's even higher than birur, then the Eibishter drops extra on the shliach himself, shliach and shlucha themselves, so that they can get down and do a root canal bitter on a level so deep that, and that's the ultimate bitter. So that's really interesting. It comes out from the mimer. The mimer is a mimer from the Rebbe. It's one of the first mimerim the Rebbe said. It's probably from the first 10 mimerim. I don't know, but the Rebbe, this is from Toshin Yud Aleph, so this is from Yud Shvat, so this is in Yud Beis Tamos. The Rebbe said this mimer. It's based on the mimer from the Friedige Rebbe that the Friedige Rebbe sent to Russia on Yud Beis Yud Gimel Tamos, to infuse the Yidden and Russia then with who needed incredible potent energy to be able to withstand that Nisayin. What we're going to see in the discussion of it, not directly in the Maimah, but the Tzemach Tzedek and the various, and the Rebbe Rashab, and Fidik Rebbe's Maimah is based on the Rebbe Rashab's Maimah, which is based on, it all goes, traces back to the Alter Rebbe's Maimah, Pashas Achre Hashem Elokeichem Taylechu, which in the Tzemach Tzedek has a long Maimah on this, Achre Bi or Achare, which all deals with the concept of Nisayinis. And over there it discusses there's all kinds of different Nisayinis. There's the Nisayinis where someone doesn't let you keep Yiddishkeit, that Nisayin in Russia, where there was a force that was there to stop Yidden fun to be able to keep to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. And then there's nesiyonos when the Eibishter kind of hides his face from us by giving us particular challenges. And as a shliach, particularly the question becomes, I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do, so why this? Isn't it good? Nor does felt merois. This is the only thing I needed. It's like it's not enough that I'm out here and I'm plugging away and I abandoned, I left and I went to Yehupitzville and I'm out, and I have all the challenges of a shliach and I have to do my own fundraising and I have to set the whole thing up and all this headache and then yet this. So that's one of the types of nisyonos that there are. Nisyonos when there is hardship. In the Tzemach Tzedek's list of nisyonos, this comes in number second. The nisyon when there is hardships in your life, b'menias, in the Lashon over there, b'menias b'riyas aguf, where there is health deficiency, problems in health, right, regarding themselves or family members, and which is opposite of godliness, because godliness is achtay v'chesed, and a lukust is only bracha. There is chayim, there is health, there is life, there is parnasa. That's where the Eibishter is. So it almost feels like you're in a godless state, because there's this concealment. And part of the questions are, how come dafka me, who I'm doing, and I'm a shliach, and I'm connected to the Rebbe on such a deep level, which is connected to the pnimius of like the whole, the more you understand and appreciate like how all of Kavan of creation is Yiddishkeit. And in Yiddishkeit itself, you have Torah mitzvahs. And in Torah mitzvahs, you have pnimius ha-Torah. And in pnimius ha-Torah, you have Torah Hashishul Mashiach. You have like, and we're finally at the final generation with the final tzaddik and the Rebbe's inner circle, which are the deepest shluchim, who are finally here at the last moment doing the final avoda and dafke. It creates a problem. It creates questions. So the maimer will help a little bit, not to chas v'shalom justify, but to give us a little bit of a chayus in the inyan of like, yeah, the Eibishter Dafka chose me and he Dafka put me into the situation and there's a deep kavan al yoyna and this is the geya to the shlichus. It's not an impediment on the shlichus. That's the nekuda. Because when we see it as some drag, then it really drains the energy. But we don't see it as a drag, but we see it as the shlichus itself. That's a different story. So let's see. And not only a shlichus itself that has some kind of repair in me, but rather, how that itself is the tikkun of the place that I'm in, which kind of that's where I was always focused on. So let's see. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, you've given to those who fear you, nes. But pashtus, you would read nes, a miracle. To be elevated. But Rashi learns, and over here he's going to bring the targum, that nes means a nisayon. You give to those who fear you a nisayon, lisnoises. Which means over here, the way the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe brings from the Friedrich Rebbe's Tai Ching list, no, he says to be elevated, to pick us up to a high place. And the reason for that is, because of your eternal truth. Because of your eternal truth. In other words, as we're going to see, I like to sometimes, right at the beginning of the Maimer, get to the Nakuda. What's the Nakuda? So you can leave already. Just in case. The Nakuda is, b'pnei koi sheitzela. Nekoshetzela means to bring out the depth and the truth of your bond with the Eibishter. And there's nothing that brings out that truth of that bond like when you have everything thrown against you, everything impeding your way, and you're sticking it through. And you have no idea why you're sticking it through. And that's because of your essence, because you cannot not. Like we speak about Mesiras Nefesh. Yid gives us life up. Why? Because I can't. I can't. This is it. This is who I am. This is my essence. So that is essence, the nekudas apchipnimis, the quintessential essence of our connection to the Eibishter, comes out dafke in this, and that's the elevation. Because that's where you really become a divine being. You become a getlecha being. And when you, and as we're going to learn in the Maimah, with the cool, I see chassidus as cool, so that's why I always keep it using cool. People look at me like I'm off the wall. But that's a nekudas, it's an amazing cool idea. It's hot because it's a lekus, but it's also cool. It's cool because when you reveal your essence, then you touch the essence of everything. And there are certain elements in today's world that cannot be redeemed or they can't be touched only if you communicate with their essence. It has to be essence to essence. In other words, as long as there were certainly Tzutzei Kedusha in the world that had certain properties and features to them that were also godly, you're able to communicate with them and elevate them through what? Through your features, your koiches, your powers of your being, which is your seichel, your emotions, your personality, and so on and so forth, your character traits. But then when there is something that is so locked and there's no espashtus at all, there's only the essence of the nitzot itself, as we're going to see in the Maimer, the only way to like spark it and the only way to like kind of make a tchias amesim over there is by you finding your essence. And your essence touches the essence. And only that, and that's the final tikkun and the bitter as we get to the last point. So an almost like what? Oh, we'll see. Well, that's the, we're going to learn how the essence, how it touches. But let's see. Or maybe quote Kedushas Mordechami Admor Ba'amaimer. So the Friedrich Rebbe brings in the Maimer. Shasholach L'Medina Serusia V'Nitveseh Ata, that he sent to Russia. And it was now printed. Pidush HaTargum, the Pidush of the Targum. Yahavta L'Tchalech, you've given to those who fear you, Nisa, a Nisayan, a test, L'Isnasa, to be elevated, Bay, for them to be picked up through that. Umevar, and he explained, Shekol avoided the Mesiris Nefesh. It's referring to that through Nisyonis, it brings out and it forces us into Mesiris Nefesh. It forces us into a Mesiris Nefesh. Binyan and Nisyonis Davka, the matters of Mesiris Nefesh that come via and through our dealing with the Nisyon. Shenitno l'bnei Yisrael, that this is given to the Yidden, kedei lifil behem inyan shel hagbah. It is given to us in order to affect us in a level of hagbah. It's meant to elevate us. And this galus is different than the previous galus. In other words, the Rebbe is saying, the Friedrich Rebbe brings, that this is unique to our galus. In other words, even though there were many galus, but all the other galus were primarily what's referred to as avoidas habirudim. We always learn this in Chassidus. There are sparks of holiness that are all over, so we go and travel the world in order to elevate sparks. In Mitzrayim, there were 202 sparks. And that's when we took out Erev Rav, 202, and at this place, and in Bavel, and then there's some sparks left over, and that's, it's interesting that the longest Gullus has the least sparks, if you might say. I mean, if Mitzrayim took out 202 already, what are you left with? 86 sparks. But as explained in Chassidus, the 86 are splintered into billions and billions of sparks of holiness, and that has to be elevated. But mainly the Avoida was through what's called Birurim. However, an hour long Gullus, the main avoida is not avoida sabirur, even though we say lahigla that's the avoida birurim. But over here, there's a very big chunk of what needs to be accomplished in the galus is avoida sanisyoines, and the nisayon is not what the mimer is going to do. It's mainly it's going to differentiate between a birur and a nisayon. What the difference of that is, and that's what makes this galus different than the other galus. There is an abundance, if you might say, of concealments and obscuring elements that obscure and hide. And there's a lot of tests. The Rebbe is over here, not so Marach, but I looked in the Friedrich Rebbe's Maimer. So over there, he explains that in the other, even though there were a lot of tzaddis in Golos Bavel and other places, but you can sense truth. Truth was not so obscure. You can sense the truth. It was like you felt, you can feel the emes, and you knew you have hardship. You can feel emes. He says, in our galus, the Eberster sets up situations where the emes is pashut hidden. And the natural feeling is, in yonim that are sheker, feel like the emes. I'm shugin aveld. That things that are sheker present itself as truth, and it's very easy to buy into it and accept that and to live with that, right? We're living now 28 years after Gimel Tammuz. That's a choice. That this is a psana emes and metzias amitis, you know. The Rebbe's avoid, the Rebbe's avoid, the Rebbe's avoid, the Rebbe's ending, then the chveis, we're hoping, chveis, when, vi, vos. Like the Rebbe's dreams for Mashiach were like dreams that are fading away, chas v'shal. And it feels emes. If you're a sane, normal person, come on, stop already. And that looks like an emes, that's a perfect example, Gimel Tammuz and everything that came afterwards. This is the Metzias Amitis. But we know in our souls, Nishtazai, we know the Rebbe is here, we know there's the emes, but that's because we have to learn Chassidus and know that we have to sit by Fabrengens and we have to send that to break through this Helen Vahester. There's a Metzias over here that's confusing and distracting and covering and bothering. Ube'emes, and in truth, the Rebbe says, in Eze Atzmo Yehoro, what were you saying?
Maybe they had
certain channels, yeah.
They actually saw that.
Yeah. Emes and truth in a ze atzmoy. This itself, uayirah koyach va'oyish anitnu malmaila. This itself is a hayirah that the Eibush is giving particular koyches. Because the rule is, what's the rule? Lufim gamlo shichna, according to the camel, is the load. And ena kadosh baruch hu baba trunya and briyosav. The Eibush will never do with us something that we have to fail. He's not setting us up for failure. So if we have nisyonis and a lot of elamas v'state, it means that we have a certain koyach over here that was not given to the earlier generations. Lekol echad v'yechad, to every single person, sheyachal lamud b'nisay, that we're able to withstand the nisay. V'yezeu yisrna koyach v'oiz, and this is the added power and strength. Shenitn begolus ha'achrin al golus Mitzrayim. And here there is an extra strength that's given in this latter golus over the golus of Mitzrayim. Sheyse shoyrish l'chol ha'golius. The Mitzrayim was a shayrish for all the golius. Yet, there's certain koyach that we have today that was not given in golus Mitzrayim. What is that? The Begolus Mitzrayim Ksiv, by Golus Mitzrayim, it says, V'loi Shamu, they didn't listen to El Moshech, it doesn't say, I guess the Rebbe doesn't even want to write out, V'loi Shamu El Moshech, they want to listen to El Moshech. V'loi Shamu, they didn't hear, and what's the reason? Mikoytzer Ruach, because of shortness of breath, U'mevoy Dekashen, from difficult work. The people were so farmatted, they were so exhausted, and they were so overworked, and that such shortness of breath, which means they couldn't live deeper and inhale and get deeper into their inner being. They were living so on the surface because there was such a draining of them that they couldn't listen to Moshe. When Moshe came around and telling them Mashiach is coming any minute, it wasn't speaking to them. It wasn't going in. I know, but what does the Rebbe say? Sha'avoyde de nisyoinois rak bil bila oisa. There was also a helem v'hester. There was also, besides the birur in Mitzrayim, there was also an inyan of a nisayon. There were many nisayonis. And particularly in the end of the galus, Bapashtas, he's referring to, there was an inyan of a strong nisayon. A very strong inyan that was, again, we're going to differentiate soon what's the difference between a nisayon and a thing. But there was a particular element of a strong nisayon. And over there, the nisayon did not withstand it. In other words, Bapashtas, they failed the nisayon. And what was the case? Because they didn't listen to Moshe. They disconnected. And so what did the Nisayin accomplish? The Nisayin accomplished Bilbula Oysa. It confused them. It just threw them off. Masha'en came begolazeh. In this golaz, Nitana koyach va'oiz, the strength and the power was given, lahakir esa emes, to recognize the truth. In other words, even though we said earlier that in this golaz, the truth is more hidden, it's more concealed, yet we're given a unique koyach to recognize the emes, despite the fact that the surrounding communication that's being sent to us is the opposite of truth. Yet we have an innate koyach in our golos. And what's lahakedes emes? What is to recognize the emes? Ki hem rak nisyoines bovad. In other words, when you recognize that what you're going through is only a nisyon, then that's called being makir the emes. Being makir them. So let's stop for a moment over here, a little analyze over here. He's saying in Mitzrayim, when they had an Nisayon, what did it do to them? It famished them. It caused the confusion. But now we have the koiches to have an Nisayon and to be makir the emes that it's only an Nisayon. But how do you know that today's days we have the koyach? How do we know we have the koyach? We know the koyach from the fact that we have the Nisayon. So you ask the same question. They also had the Nisayonis. I'm reading this. I'm saying this doesn't make any sense. If the whole deducing that you extrapolate, that we have the koyach because it was given to us, right? Because Ein Bakadosh Baruch Hu Ba Betrunya, the Eibushter wouldn't give us something, so it must be that we have the koyach to have the Nisayon. So what are you saying? In Mitzrayim, the Indian was only Mevalvel there. Now, Bepashtis, let's see Luchura, what's going on. What was the Indian of a Nisayon over there, Bepashtis? Moshe Rabbeinu had already come to them. I think with the Nisayon was Mevalvel them. Moshe Rabbeinu had already come to them in Mitzrayim and told them, the Eibushter sent him. The Eibushter sent Moshe Rabbeinu to the Yidden. Moshe Rabbeinu came. And he gave the Yidden the Besudas HaGiyula. And it says they actually listened to him. Vayishma ha'am, vayamein ha'am. The people believed. Problem was that it didn't happen as a shnel as we thought it would. What happened was they had a throwback. Adarabah, Moshe went to Paroi, and he did that. Paroi got angry, he got ticked off, and he made tichpada avoida, and the golos became so terrible, and Bapashtas was like a, it was a lot, it was, relatively, or quite a while. It was at least 3 months. Some say longer. Some say 6 months or whatever. And it was impossible. They heard already. Moshe came, and then it was happens for kid. So then later it was v'lo shamu al Moshe. And it was the Nisayan that came afterwards, that the Eivishna made it darker after they had this Pesudas HaGiyula for Moshe Rabbeinu, that it became darker, confused them. We're saying today that even when we have Nisayanis, even when we have, like in our case, that Rebbe told us also Pesudas HaGiyula. And now it's 30 years of a 28, whatever, 30 years since the Rebbe tells us all this, and doesn't feel like Mashiach is on the horizon. Where is it? What's going on? And but we have the ability, lahakiras emes, to recognize the emes. We'll recognize them, not to fall for it, not to fall for the concealments and the darkness, but from a very deep core, essential place, to be steadfast. And know that we're holding at mamash at the very end, that we need to give the very final push, and we're at there, and azaydos. So luchure, if the basis, however, is that how do you know you have the koyach because you have the nisayon, how can it be that in Mitzrayim, they had the nisayon, and they didn't. So I was thinking about this, and it occurred to me, and it seemed so when I was looking at the Rebbe Shabbos Maimer, that it's possible bechlal that there is a major difference between Golus Mitzrayim and the Golus and this Golus. So what's the difference? In Golus Mitzrayim, there wasn't so much a giloy of that the Golus came to be megala and to reveal their strengths of their neshamas and so on and so forth. The Ikar Inyan of Golus Mitzrayim was the Shibud itself. They needed Mitzrayim is called Kur HaBarzel. Because of the Chet Eitz Hadas, there was a mixture of good and bad. And even the Neshamis had some impurities inside of it. That it needed to be put through the ringer, which was this immense suffering and pain that they went through. And the suffering and the pain of Mitzrayim itself was a cleansing. And it prepared the Neshamis for this. It was more a purging, like the Rebbe Rashab in the end of the Maimer, which this Maimer is related to, discusses the idea, the difference if when the Eibushter gives Avraham Avinu the choice of Gehenim versus Golus. Everybody knows that. But Brisbane Absarim, he said, you know, you're going to have to go through darkness. Which one do you choose? He explains the difference between the two is Gehenim is not meant to bring you to a certain type of an awareness. It's just meant to cleanse. It's a painful experience that kind of takes out the garbage and cleanses the soul. A Nisayan, you come out stronger at the end of the Nisayan. In other words, it's meant to dig out. Golos is meant to be Nisayanis. And what's the inyan of Nisayanis is that it uncovers, it draws forth a deeper human being, a higher connection. So lechure lefi erech zeh, we can say, is bepashtus a little bit the difference of Mitzrayim and this Golos. Over there is before Matan Torah, before... So the inyan of the Golos was mainly like a Gehenim. They had to go through, within Golos, it was more of a Gehenim than a Golos. They had to go through a purgatory, a cleansing, a Kura Barza. Therefore, the main point was that they felt pain. So therefore, what's the deepest pain? Psychological pain. Here you have Besudas HaGiyula, here you're showing you're being thrown, and the fact that they had this confusion added so much pain to them, because they were confused and they were hurt, and that was a final purging. So maybe Metaka didn't have the koyach to be able to withstand and still believe. You see, what? It was at that time. It wasn't about that. It was just a cleansing.
It doesn't
even matter. Yeah, Metaka didn't matter.
Why did it matter that they believed only those people?
No, they believed. No, you say bechlal that they had emuna. Ah, you're saying how come the yidden? No, it says that the people that didn't go out of Mitzrayim were only the people who didn't want to go out. In other words, they were menaget to the whole geula. That's what it says. Not people that stam had struggles and difficulties. Those were, and now the chiddush is that even those who don't want to go out of Golos are going to go out of Golos. But that was, what? So then it should be those. Yeah, that's a good question. But. Okay, needs to be thought about more. But the pashtus. That's, you can learn the inyan of why Golos Mitzrayim was the even though the Nisayan only caused confusion. And our Golos, however, the Nekudi is the Birur, the deeper self that comes out, and the higher self, and therefore, the fact that we have Nisayanis is Adrabe, a indication of the huge Koyach that we have Davke today. Yes?
They had a Ketz.
Yeah.
So to them, when it says they believed in Moshe, they still believed in Gula, but Moshe was the wrong guy.
Because he came early. First of all, he came early. They had 400 years to look at.
When you have a cat, it's not a real story.
Yeah.
If you knew that when this ends...
But then the
cat
wasn't a cat. So it was 120 years.
No, if you know there's a cat, it's a cat. I can manage. It's also dope. The difference in the story in itself is not a real Mesiris Nefesh in the story. But I also say, man, I'm Mesiris Nefesh in the story. Who knows when, but where, how.
Oh, but notwithstanding all of that, as he explains in the Maimer, we have the koyach to be makir the emes that it's an
Nisoy. Right, but that's why now it's more of an Nisoy, and now it's more of a Mesiris Nefesh, because there is no...
Yeah, although he says in the Maimer that it was Nisoyness there, but there, whatever, when the Nisoyness were thrown into the mix, it only confused them more.
Right.
And now, umam shech levar, so what is an Nisoy? So now let's get into the essence of what is an Nisoy. Shanisoyin, that the idea of an Nisoyin is Shahanitzitza Eloiki, who muster the Nelam Biyoiser. A Nisoyin means that there is a divine spark in the Nisoyin, but this Nitzus, which means in general, the godly content of the situation that you're in, is hiding very, very, very hidden. In other words, it's hidden really well. So you're really, really placed in a situation where it takes a lot in order to be able to connect to Elokus, to the godliness of it. There's a big, big barrier. There's a lot of darkness. As opposed to generally when you're surrounded, the Eibishter sends a neshama into the world, and the neshama and the world is full of concealment. The world is a helem v'hester. The world's a helem v'hester, okay. So there is an avodah, but the godly potential is pretty close to the surface. You need a focus. When you're focused, you're mindful. As we're going to learn later, you daven in the beginning of the day, you set your mind straight, you have a certain godly orientation to your life, and then you find a lakus in everything. You're looking around like people are in a state where you're looking for Ashkacha Pratis. You always have these people who always tease us. Every 2 minutes they come and they have Ashkacha Pratis this, Ashkacha Pratis here, Ashkacha that, Ashkacha this, which is beautiful. But and the emes is the more you tune into Ashkacha Pratis, the more you see Ashkacha Pratis in your life, right? But that's kind of like it's on the surface. It's easy to crack in and get to the nitzutz. In a nisayan, there's a nitzutz there, but the nitzutz that's there is very, very hidden. The hine, for behold, inyan a nisayan einoy kamoy shar dvarim gashmiyam hamizbarim. A nisayan is not like the general idea of being living in an ungodly world that we need to do birudin. We need to navigate and uncover the godly potential in everything. Shahabiru ayadeyis askus behem. Now, when the nitzutz is more on the surface, or when the nitzutz is more expressed, closer to being found, then the manner. So first, again, the first difference between a nisayan and a regular situation is that in ordinary concealments, in ordinary avodah diga work, the godliness is not that hidden. And here it is very hidden. Now, from there comes the second difference, is that the way you deal with a regular situation is that you interact with whatever it is that you're trying to fix, and you're through your interaction and you're busying yourself, your involvement, you're engaging in this particular inyan, you're able to connect to the godliness of it, and that is what he says is askus behem. You get involved with it. For example. Classical example is food. Food is bepashtis davar shel chulin, unrelated to lakus to getlachkeit. The fact that a yid approaches it different than a guy, a yid makes a bracha, and it generally is supposed to engage in all material things with a kavana, and the kavana is to serve the Eibishter. So when you're doing that, but it's a struggle. It's askus because it tries to drag you into the experience without anything getlach. Right, it tries to pull you in because the material taiva and pleasure that there is in all the things that you should experience it just for the sake of its pleasure without any higher intent. So you got to wrestle with it. It tries to pull you down, and you got to be a step higher, navigate, and find its godly potential and bring it forth. And that's called this askus behem. Shayadezem is barer anitzutz. Through this, you elevate the spark, the nichlal belokus, and you include it into godliness. What's the case in a nisayan? Shoifen abirur, the manner of the birur, hu loy behis askus bahadavar, the way you engage with it, the way you deal with it, is not behis askus, not that you are oisik in the matter, ki em his askus ha adam im atzmoy, but rather your busyness, your work, is you got to work with yourself. And hear these words. In other words, here you're not at all, your inyan is not at all to try to uncover the godliness of the situation. Your inyan is more to work with yourself and almost to ignore the outside and to just do your thing without considering anything that's happening. The test is not, the nisoyan is not an inyan of its own. You were set up in a situation, something was set up around you to serve as a concealer and to hold you back. And therefore, we'll understand this in a moment. Your whole is askus is with yourself. A person needs to dig deep in to find your own essence, your own essential bond with the Eibishter. In other words, to withstand nisyoinis, your relationship with the Eibishter cannot be based on seichel, because seichel is wishy-washy. It can't be an intellectual bond. You have to go and fight it from your essence, azoyin nisht andish, with a toikif atzmi, as he's going to explain soon. And then what happens? Achem mizbatlim kolam aniyas v'ikuvim. And then what happens? Those very obstacles are nizbatl. Because since their entire setup was only to do what? To get you to go deeper into yourself. That's the nekudah. So let's understand a little bit over here. There are certain in Yonah, the Eibishter made a world. And the Eibishter wants the world to become godly. When the Eibishter made a world and the Eibishter wants the world to become godly, it means all in Yonah and Velt have to become godly. There are 70 nations. The Eibishter wants the 70 nations. L'man yakiru v'yedu, they should know alakus. There are dvarim gashmiim. And the Eibishter wants, involves itself in all the food and so on. The Eibishter wants these things to become elevated to godliness. Which means there is a thing that needs a tikkun. It needs a tikkun. And your avoida is to elevate it. That's your avoida. And that it is as, now why is it something? It is something because there is godly content invested in it. The Eibishter put himself into it. It's obscured. And therefore you have to redeem the Eibishter that's in it. And the Elokus is in it. This is part of the Eibishter's artwork. This is part of him. It's just concealed. And your avoid is to uncover the godliness. That this is Getlech. But it is a thing. Then there is a situation. That's because there is a Nitzutz in it. And the Nitzutz and the thing are very much unified. But then there is a certain type of a Nitzutz, which comes out from the... Is that the Nitzutz, that there is a thing which is not a thing. In other words, something is created to be it's a thing in the world. It looks very real. And it looks very powerful. And it looks like a mamash metzias amitis, but it really is a mirage. In other words, to be a real metzias amitis, no, it isn't. And there is a nitzutz there, as we're going to see in a moment. There is a nitzutz there, but the nitzutz in it is not in it. It's kind of hovering. It's almost like makif. It's like enabling it to exist, but not being part of it. And the Eibishter is not interested in it at all. The Eibishter is interested in one thing. He wants to create a situation to challenge you. It's a darkness. Here the Eibishter is interested in you, not in it. Not that he's sending you in a shlichus to fix it. He's creating it so it should challenge you so that you can go deeper in yourself and uncover your connection. Nothing about it. It has no metzias at all. Let me try to find an example where we can see it. And we see it with our Rabbeim. We see it in the history of Chabad. You have the Alter Rebbe was arrested by the Tsar. And you had the Tzemach Tzedek going to Petersburg, and so on and so forth. This whole Seder of five generations of Rabbeim, where there was a Melucha, a kingdom, full of Gezeiras Rois, anti-Semites, and they made the Gezeira into schlepping the Kindlech, and they're doing and they wanted to change the education, and our Rabbeim were fierce fighters. How do they fight? How do they fight these Gezeiras? Once in a while, they just decided to take the guy down. They made Seder in Petterburg. And then this one was, that was Malmaila Lamata. But in other times, there was an Avoid. When the Alter Rebbe was arrested, he said he could have burned Petersburg down, but he didn't. He went there and he explained to them until they had to be maskim. And the Alter Rebbe writes it in the letter that they themselves saw that Koyach Hashem Mafli Lad, that the Higdal Hashem Lasses Ba'arit, and they saw the tzedak of the truth of it, and so on and so forth. In other words, there is an Indian of Laman Das Kolam Ha'aretz.
You want them to recognize, and that's the kavana, because the guy is part of what the Eibishter created. The Eibishter created this metzias, and he needs to come to hakadosh baruch hu. And this was a real metzias. There was a real entity of Russia as a country. Now, for 70 years, suddenly Russia was taken over by a force that was an atheistic force, which its entire inyan was to eradicate God and eradicate religion and eradicate any zecher of Elokus. Now, it's very interesting. That very same Russia today is going back to an imperialistic kind of country. It's completely gone. It's gone so much as if it never was. Think about it. This whole metzias of communism of that in Russia is bechlal nishka metzias. It's out. Now I remember someone sent they have the Rebbe Yoimi video. So a couple of months ago they had a video where the Rebbe is saying somewhere in the Lamitz, the Rebbe was saying l'chaim to the Yidins in Kumim in Ruslan, and that they should say l'chaim. And the Rebbe says there was a Kumim was meruft me'achoyde mesach habarzel. They call it behind the iron curtain. The Rebbe says, I'll say between the thing, ich bin bechlal nish goydis them. I'm bechlal nish goydis this iron curtain. It's bechlal nish kametzias. It's not a lion inyan. Aye, the Rebbe's telling you, Toshin Lamed, and how many chassidim are still battling this darkness, and it lasted for 70 years. It's not a metzias. Not a metzias. It's a metzias that was set up to challenge you. To challenge and bring it. And therefore, when the Friedrich Rebbe was in jail, it wasn't like he went to them and he was arguing with them and trying to be misasik with them. Like the earlier Rabbein went to the Sadeh, they had connections with Sadeh Memshola and so on and so forth. What was the Friedrich Rebbe's avodah? To look them in the eye and say, we're doing that Yiddishkeit is MS and truth and you're gesehen. And even according to your law, you're allowed to, but it wasn't an argument. It was Azoy is and Nisht Andish. And that's what he did with Chassidim. Strength, because the whole metzias of that, and that shows you that you can have an inyan that lasts for 70 years, but it's not a real metzias. Its whole metzias was to bring out the koyach ha-mesiris nefesh of chassidim and of yidden. And the fact that yidden remained loyal to Yiddishkeit and Torah and mitzvahs, the whole thing collapsed. Kiloy hoyu. It didn't collapse, which when there is a metzias, when you have taka metzias amitis, a nation, in order to destroy it, you need weapons, you need war to eradicate, like all other revolutions. What was the chiddush of the communist fall? Overnight, it disappeared. Which, like, it doesn't make any sense. So one of the ways of looking at it is that's the nefloyas of the geula. But on a deeper level, it never was a metzias amitis. It was kind of, Russia was taken over by some kind of the Eibishter that created a darkness, which was there just to be a milam v'hester onion. So here's where you see the difference of an inyan that is a metzias, and that you need to be mesak in the inyan, or the inyan is not it, the inyan is you. Like the Alter Rebbe also says, and perhaps you can give an example, the Alter Rebbe says, when you're trying to daven on the train, and someone is trying to, the person is coming to trying to disturb you in davening. So what are you supposed to do? What does the Alter Rebbe says? Don't get into a conversation with him. Don't get into a dialogue. Don't get into a discussion. What should you do? But go deeper into your davening. Go deeper, deeper into yourself. And adrab, and appreciate the Eibishter is doing this in order to bring out the depth of your connection that you have to daven stronger. And that's how you're milet. It's through being stronger in yourself, not through dealing with it. So that's the general concept, the difference between Nisyonis. A Nisyon is where the entire situation is a setup from above to challenge you. The Eibishter doesn't have an interest in it. The Eibishter has an interest in you. He's setting you up with darkness in order to constrict and to create certain... And that can come, again, as mentioned, Nisyonis come in many ways. One of the Nisyonis is hardships in your life. Hardships and difficulties and challenges. Now, you can't say regarding... Now, here's where you have a little bit of a problem. Because if we take this to our situation, you're talking about your own children, you're talking about your own situations, and you're talking about this. You can't say that this metzias is not a metzias amitis. This is my child. This is an emesinian. We don't mean that chas v'shalom, the child is not a metzias amitis. But what it really means is that the Eibishter sets up particular hardships and difficulties coming along with it. That these are the inyanim that are meant to challenge you. And as we see within our own lives, that sometimes, now when he says over here that when you stand strong, it falls apart, it's hard to relate it to our situation, but you because you're not expecting always to see that your child will suddenly, if you stay, be completely, you know, Mashiach et kum, and the time everybody will be healed. But what you do see, I think what we could connect to, is when it's in all the small little added shtechs we get, where we lose our housekeeper, or where you try to get him into, no one wants it. The school suddenly is not working out anymore, or situations like this, and like it's like right, usually happens right before the Shoshana, or right before Pesach when you're running your Pesach thing, or things like this where you end up with like added sizzlers, if you might say. And what happens is, as he says, if a yid goes deep in himself, he's not nispol most of the time of the inyan of the nisayan. So again, we don't know how long, because you see sometimes it's a little longer. But the way the makeup of the situation is that through once it accomplishes what it was meant to accomplish in you as a person, then the inyan falls away, and that's it. Suddenly, like the problem is not there, and adarabe. You find assistance, and you find this happening and that happening. So at least we can see this nekuda in little details of our life. Not, I would say, in the entire situation. Yes.
Is it possible that someone who's in the situation
is the thing
that the person is bringing that situation?
You
have to work with it.
You mean for the
like if you have two people? Like
yeah. I would imagine so. That there's a difference between the. Because every reality has many facets to it. Its existence in regarding to you, and its existence regarding to itself, could be. Yeah, that would be taking it into a more nuanced situation. Okay. So Alkan, yeah. The nekuda in, you know, what's the nekuda of the inyan? Yeah. If it's a nisayan or it's an inyan of birur. So for example, so you see a situation, you know, the inyan of his askus, we can understand the shluchim, you understand really well the inyan of his askus. What's the inyan of this askus is that like you're going into to meet someone. So the guy, you know, you're looking into this individual, as he's going to explain very geshmak soon, that when you're dealing with birurim, you always see an outlet within the situation, how it possibly you can get to that individual, or that situation. In other words, you can sense that there is potential over there. This person is workable. You're going in to meet someone. So what is it? Number one, you're looking for, like, when you're going to meet a possible donor, on a situation. So you go. Number one, you know that this person has certain things that they like, right? That they care for. In Yiddishkeit, they have a heart for this. That means you're looking for their soft spots. You're looking for their Indian. Then you're looking how to turn them on and what to say to them and so on and so forth. That's more of a bitter than the Indian. Then you have a situation who moved in next door. A person, an anti-Semite, who moved in next door. And they want to dafke make you tzaddis and call you Chabad the whole time. Call the police on you and do all kinds of zoning and all kinds of mishigasin, and there you can sense that this was not because the Eved wants you to make get into a conversation and get this person to keep shavim mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Pash this not, but the nekuda is you do your thing and vanish nespol, and they're gonna be and it's gonna be the Eved to just testing you to be strong. So that you gotta sense that. It's sometimes it's a little more delicate than that, and it's good to speak to a mashpia who can look at it from the outside, because when you're caught in it, sometimes you don't always see it that way. Yes.
It seems like from what you're saying, one of them is like you have to engage, and one of them is just looking inward.
Yes. Yeah. But how do you know he's asking always?
Because something you can't do anything.
Oh, most of the times when you can't do anything, it means that the Indian is in you, not in it.
Bashkin's book has many stories like that.
Yeah.
He went through a situation of, in the moment he realized it's for himself.
The nekuda is Indian, and the idea of the Indian is as follows. Shadafke begolos ha'achren, dafke in this latter golos. Choshech kofel mechupel, especially when it gets to the very end, there is a choshech kofel mechupel, there's a darkness, the ikvus of the Mashiach. Shazel soif ha'helem v'hester, this is the concealment of all, this is the end of all concealments and obscurity. Nitnu l'bnei Yisrael koiches, it was given to Yidden powers, shaloy l'yispol ma nisyoynes, not to be nispol from the nisyoynes. V'haynu. Al yedei zeh shema'oidinim es ha'koyach ha'atzmi, through this that you're ma'oidir your koyach atzmi, shezehu toikif atzmi, which what does it mean that your koyach ha'atzmi? The essential tkifus, strength, V'gam bittel atzmi. And also an essential bittel, which l'chur, it's two opposite. Bittel is complete non-beingness. Toikif means strength. But adarabah, one comes from the other. Because you have the deepest bittel, let's say for now, as a chassid, you have the deepest bittel to the Rebbe, what does that bring out? So when you're fighting for something, you're not fighting for yourself. Yesterday I was by a shliach, who told me as follows. He told me a whole story, how he had a guy who he met, and this guy, whatever, and he got a little close to him, and then the guy called him into his office and said, come tomorrow, and he wrote him, he had a check written for $1.8 million. And he said, here's it, he said, on condition that I'm giving this to you, but that you take your building off Chabad, and you make it your own, on your own name. And the shliach told him these words, go to hell. This is what he told him. And he said, Daf Nishnein Geld, what do you think, I'm going to sell my soul? For anyways, the guy became his big whatever, and he gave him much more. But the nekuda was, Toikif Atzmi. Now, how did he have that chutzpah? He had that chutzpah because of a bittel atzmi. You know, I'm not an entity on my own. I'm going to chas v'shom sever my essence. That's bittel atzmi. But from bittel atzmi, because he couldn't believe it, he went wild. This guy was so angry at first. At how does this chutzpah yak, when he calls him in and he's giving him something, tell him, bis garnished, he told him. That's the bittel atzmi that brings taikif atzmi. But in our own avoda, v'yesh loyma, shazau atam, shadafka avoidis hanisyonis, poyeles hagbov v'alog gedoy lebiyoyser. Dafka the avoda of nisyonis affects such a halah, such an elevation, because the nisyonis force us into our etzem. And then, since the Nisayan's objective was only to bring this out, then it falls apart because it's not needed anymore. As if it never existed. It's probably, I thought I'm going to get through Gimel. B'machshava. B'machshava. Yes. Not just when we realize, but when we actually look inward, sometimes from the time you realize it until you actually get to do it, it takes a little while. Right? So for example, the communism fell apart only after 70 years of Yidden plugging Mesiras Nefesh. Not Chas V'Shalom to mean that we have to do this, but when we've kind of reached that Nekuda that the Eberster wants us to reach, it will fall apart. Because it's not there for it, it's there for you. Yeah. Shalom.